All right. Mark, you have the microphone. Would you pray for me this morning?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord God. We give you praise and glory and honor for all things. Lord, we now ask that you would send your spirit down, touch Bob here as he speaks the word, Lord God, that it be
thank
words
you, Lord.
That you want spoken, Lord, not that Bob wants spoken.
That's
Father,
right.
Father, we look forward to learning and hearing the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right,
I don't know.
All right, everybody get your food, find your way to a seat. I always like to go back to the fundamentals every time I get a chance to teach, because the fundamentals are very important. If we don't have a good foundation, right, we can't grow. And one of the basic foundational issues that we are always talking about is faith and works. We're going to talk about understanding faith and work and how they work. Some of the questions I'm going to look at is faith and work separate things? What if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith alone justify you? Can works alone save you? Which comes first? Is one more important than the other? And the last thing, but certainly the most important, what did Jesus show us about faith and works? So we're going to try to take a look at that today. And of course, the key to understanding how faith and works, or you can even, these words are almost replaceable with heart and deeds. Because usually when the Bible is talking about heart issues, it's talking about your faith. And deeds and works are basically the same thing. Right? It's what you do. But if there's an important issue, never, never are we left in the dark, are we? The Word of God covers everything that we need to know. And if faith and work is something we need to know, it will be covered in the Word. So the way to take a look at that is through God's Word, and that's what we're going to do this morning. And this is one there should never be a misunderstanding about, because it's spelled out so perfectly by James. I'm sure everyone's heard this. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. All right? What good is it, my brothers and sisters? Okay, who's he talking to here? Brothers and sisters. Who's brothers and sisters? Those in the faith, those that are in the church and in the faith. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26.
You're talking to the Gentiles,
Hebrews,
everybody?
Nope. Yes, but Christians, fellow Christians, members of the church. But yeah, no matter what, they were Gentiles, made no difference. But yes, he was talking to people in the church. When they refer to brothers and sisters, it's people within the church, right? Because the people outside the church even care about faith and works? No, they only have faith that they can get whatever they want. And the only work they want to do is what they have to do to get what they want. But what he's talking about here is the people in the church, and that's who this is addressed to. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? He's asking a question. Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If someone says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but knows nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. He's laying it out there. That's not hard to understand. He keeps going. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, like they're separate issues. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Let me say that one again. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You have faith, the greatest faith. There is but one God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. But what's he say? Good. That's good. Even the demon believes that. Satan knows that. What good is that? Is Satan saved? Is Satan doing the right thing? Just knowing what to do is not enough. You know, I'm the greatest piano player in the world. No. No, I am. I've never played a piano. But I have faith that I'm a great piano player. If I don't need deeds or works, why should I play the piano to show to you that I can play the piano? As long as I have faith that I can play the piano, I can play the piano. But no, I can't play the piano. I like the way he addresses this. You foolish person that would think that. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, just like these papers. I hate new papers. When you run them through the copier, they kind of melt together. Usually I'll kind of get the edges and flip them around so I can get through them. I like that. Speaking of faith and works, of a traveler from the far north. All right. Yes, welcome home. Verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Was it the believing or the action that he did? And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Read that again. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She was a liar. But it was credited to her as righteousness because what? She was doing God's will, right? God's will is righteous, whatever it takes to a point. Here's how he ends this little soliloquy here. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Say that again. As the body without the spirit is dead. We hear that phrase, well, he gave up his spirit. It means he's dead. We're dead without our spirit, right? So faith without deeds is dead. That answers some of the questions there, didn't it? And we're going to take a look at just what he was trying to say there. But the main thing is what did Jesus do or show us on faith and works? Do we believe that Jesus had faith? Nobody can argue that he didn't have faith, right? Come down as a man to get crucified, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? To walk with people like us, that takes a lot of faith, right? Jesus went around praying, interceding, healing people, right? There was action involved. He just didn't come to, some people portray him as someone that just come, he didn't just sit around and pray and intercede, or he didn't just sit around and teach, did he? He went out and the people, he healed people, he touched people. He went to dinner with them. He went to their house with them, right? He done all of these things. There was action. Every time you see him stepping out in his faith, he's always doing something. There's a deed. When he's seen the people were hungry that had been there 3 days, listening to him preach, he had compassion on what he'd do. He said, well, that's enough teaching. Go home, get you something to eat. I'll see you in a day or two. No, he fed them. Is that an action? That took action. He had to coordinate the whole thing. He's the original coordinator. Had him go out, find some food. Wasn't enough. It's always enough when you give it to Jesus, right? There's always enough. And he did an action. He took those loaves up. He took that fish up and started breaking it apart and feeding people, right? So I think what he shows us pretty plainly, that you have to have action. The same way in here he was talking about, but some will say, I have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved, right? Your works will not save you, and we're going to get into that. Your works will not save you. But even the demons believe that. We're the walking out. We sometimes think that salvation is the end. Got them saved. Lord have mercy. That's just the beginning, right? And it's apart from there that's judged. How many people here were for Pastor Don's class on the seven churches? That was a great class, wasn't it? What did Jesus say to each one of those churches? Did he say, I'm going to judge your faith? I'm going to judge your heart? Did he say that? What did he say, Pastor? Your works and your deeds are what I'm going to judge, right? We stand in front of God. Tells us the first thing he does is separate the goat and the sheep. The goat and the sheep. The saved and the unsaved, right? The goats, you don't have to judge them, do you? Same way. Why do we complain when a heathen's acting like a heathen? Don't judge them. We're to judge each other. Because hopefully we'll listen, we'll change, we'll grow, we'll get better by listening to each other. The heathen, if he hasn't accepted Christ, is not going to do it, is it? My grandfather once said he hated trying to convince people that the Word of God was true. He said you could spend 6 months teaching a man that the Word of God is true. And you know what you've accomplished? Nothing. Satan knows the Word of God is true. He said it's so much simpler to get them saved and then they will believe the Word of God. They love to argue. You have to remember that everybody we meet, whatever we think of them or not, or whatever they think of themselves or not, we should share the gospel with them. We should share the good news, right? But whether or not to return to that person once or twice more is up to the Holy Spirit. I'll speak to everybody. If they're receptive, I'll go back. If they're not, I won't, unless I'm specifically told by God, go back and continue, you know. We never give up hope, though, because I might have fulfilled what God wanted, God's purpose, by the one time I spoke to him. If he keeps hearing the same thing from the same person, that's no big deal. But if God sends all kind of different people, like we talk about coincidences, even the thick heads like mine, after a while say, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something. But everybody, we should use as a rule of thumb, everybody that we meet, there's nothing wrong with sharing, no matter what we think about them. But whether we go back and spend time on that person is up to God. Because God knows who he's chose. We don't. Not everybody's chosen. Who'd God choose? Does anybody know? Yeah, God. Nobody else. Just God. Esther. We wouldn't have known Esther was chosen. Fred, we're still not sure. All of us, before we were saved, who would have guessed? Nobody would have probably guessed that I would have been a Christian, let alone up here ministering the Word of God, right? And I'm sure that's true with a lot of us. We use an example of Abraham. Why was Abraham considered righteous? Is it because of his faith? Look, the man didn't have any great faith. He's a father of faith. But he wouldn't even believe the Lord when he told him he was going to have a child. I mean, it's understandable. I'm 100. You're going to have a child. Yeah. My wife's 100. She's going to have a child. Mm-hmm. Okay, God. Right? What's he doubting? That his wife can have a child? He's actually doubting God, isn't he? If you're 100 years old and God wants to give you a child, he can do that. He did that. Right? So where was Abraham's faith then? It's not faith alone that makes you righteous. What God considered righteous was after he asked him to take this son that I'd been promising you. And the boy was pretty old by that time. He might have been in his early 20s, at least late teens, they figure. And he took him up and was going to sacrifice him. He had got to give him this word. This is your inheritance. This is the one that's going to bring about all these stars and the sands of people. And But God told him to kill him. Now there he had faith. By what? By walking it out, taking him and putting him on that altar, having the knife up, ready to go down. That's when Jesus said, oh, I believe you now, brother. Your faith is good with me. By what? What he saw. Was his faith good when he seen that he went and slept with another woman to have a child because he didn't think God could do it? No. It's what we do, and that's what he was judged on. He got better. Hopefully we get better. Our faith grows. He was a great man of faith by the end, yes. But every move we make isn't perfect in God's eyes, unless we're following his plan, purpose, and will. Again, we put labels. Well, that was good. That was bad. If it's God, there is no good or bad. It's right. That's all that counts. Well, I'm getting into, I'm actually going to talk something about that this morning downstairs. Again, we talked about Rahab. Was she justified? Because her whole thing was action. She was a prostitute. Well, she really wasn't a prostitute, I don't believe. They referred to any woman. She ran a lodging. Any woman that was kind of out on her own, running her own business, Kim, at that time was... No. Ho. Let me finish. We can see by Kim's example that that is not true, and it wasn't true then, right? But that was the prejudice. I'm dancing here. I'm coming back. That was the prejudice looked at that time about a woman working. If a woman was working, you know, it wasn't long ago that it was frowned on if a woman had to work. They looked at... Yes. I've been around a while. Yes, long ago. All right. Sometimes it was even looked on as a reflection on the man that, wow, you can't provide for your wife? You know, times were different. At that time, it was so bad that if the woman had to work or take care of herself, she was labeled a prostitute, right? It's not necessarily the way we think of the term today of prostitution. That's all I'm saying. Woo! All right, here. Hold on, let's give Kim a hand. All right, thank you. Now, what James is doing here is he was comparing two different kind of faiths. We all have faith, like I've said many times. If you go through a green light and think that red light bulb on the other side is going to stop that truck, what do you call that? I call that dumb, that a red light bulb is going to stop a truck. But yet we say we have no faith. Of course we have faith. We just have it in the wrong thing. Right? So he's comparing carnal faith and the right type of faith that we should have. Genuine faith should lead to good works. Not should, does, period. Genuine faith is walked out. Right? And the other type of faith is actually no faith at all as far as a Christian faith. It's dead faith, would be a way to put it, like he described it. It's a dead faith. You know, I'm not complaining about people in monasteries and stuff like that, but I never seen or understood that by God's word, why I would go cover myself up in a monastery and pray for people. What are you doing today? Praying. What you doing tomorrow? Praying. What are you doing next day? Praying. Prayer is good. But if they have a faith, they need to walk it out into the world, right? Back in the older times, they would cloister themselves. They would write books and stuff like that. They were doing a work. That is good. But just to lock yourself up to pray is not following God's commands, is it? Just go out. He said, go out into the whole world. Don't go down in your basement, lock the door, turn out the lights, and hide in your closet and pray. You know, Jesus can understand prayers in a moving car. Jesus can understand prayers anywhere. You don't have to have a quiet time. You know, God does not get distracted as easily as we do. In Matthew 25, the whole thing was We'll start with verse 34, Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will just say to those on his right. What this verse is the one I kind of quoted a minute ago, that first thing Jesus did, he separated the goat from the sheep. Okay? Then he starts talking to the sheep. Those on his right, in verse 34, those on his right were the sheep. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Listen to this. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The righteous on the right is looking at him like, I think there's some mistaken identity here. I'm not understanding, Lord. I never did these things to you. I don't even remember going to prison to visit you, Lord. Not that I wouldn't, but I don't remember buying clothes for Jesus, inviting you over for lunch or anything like that. What are you talking about? And he said to them, truly I tell you, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, again, people within the church, right? Not that we don't do it for outside, but if you can't do it in the church, you sure can't do it out there, right? You did for me. What's he talking about here? An action. Something that somebody did is what he's judging them by. You fed me. You clothed me. You come to visit and you come to prison and visited me, but you prayed for me in prison. You did something. An action is what he's judging. Back to what Pastor Don said about Revelation. He's judging their deeds, their action. Whatever we do, because why? Those little ones are God's children. Those are the people in the church. This is God's church. Each and every one of you belong to God. By doing something for you, I'm doing something for God. And by doing something for me, you're doing something for God. So I could use a new Cadillac in case somebody... Oh, never mind. Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of these least, you did not do for me. So the very fact by not doing that, you're getting judged. Not just what you do, but you're also judged on what you don't do. You're judged on what you do and what you don't do. You're judged on what you say and what you don't say. In other words, if somebody asked me, the Lord asked me to go witness to Dwayne and I didn't do it, I would have to answer for something I didn't do that he asked me to do, right? Of course, he's going to send somebody else to talk with Dwayne, get him saved if he wants. Well, I mean, in the past, you're already there, brother. All right. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. For this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do works which God prepared in advance for us. One more time. What this is saying is it's by faith we're saved. Faith comes first. We step out in faith to be saved, didn't we? But then that moment, that had to be followed by a work or an action by saying it with your mouth, right? For we are God's handiwork, created to do good works. We're created to do good works. That's just the start, the salvation, the faith, right? Faith gets you in the door. That's all. It's what you do when you get in the door that Jesus is going to take a look at, that God's going to judge. Sarge, did you?
Why is it so easy for Christians to... I mean, not lose your faith, but you can have things going good for 5-8 years. I mean, just everything's great.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, something falls down, and first thing to go is your faith. Boom, that quick.
Yes.
It's just, you know.
That is a good question, and that's your own answer. We're not relying just on faith, are we? And what's our faith relied on? We're using the word faith. It could mean so many different things to different people, doesn't it? Faith that God is who he says he is. The best quote or the best answer to that is the three gentlemen that were thrown into the furnace. Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach. They were thrown in a furnace. Before that, what did they say? They prayed. God, if it's your will, we don't want to go in the pizza oven, you know. But Lord, even if we do, you're still God and I'm going to serve you. That's the attitude we have to have. You don't understand just because, and I'm actually going to speak a little bit on that today, so I won't go any further. So listen to what I say today. Not that you don't always. But it's not just by faith, right? It's by our works that we're going to be looked at, because that's an outcrop of what we say and do. But it's not just works. Yes, honey? Flies, or you wanted to say something? What? Oh, Mike, my lovely wife.
The thing is that God does offer us the grace, the power to do whatever he asks us to do.
Yes.
But the problem is we got to get past how we view ourselves and others and what we want or don't want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I've often said, when I get that Hawaiian missionary trip together, Luau Bobby, they'll call me.
I'll go to that one.
But now listen. Think about this. I remember I've told this story when I was in the hospital with cancer. Just by coincidence, they placed me in a room that the room next door to it was where they brought people out of hospice that were going to die within less than a day. A lot of people were home in different places like that, having hospice take care of them. But they would usually know. Sometimes they'd pass at home, but usually they knew it was just about time they would bring them in. This is the middle of the night. I got IVs everywhere, places I don't even want to talk about. There's just tubes everywhere, right? Nose, ear, everything. I'm laying there, and I am feeling terrible. This was the night after my surgery. And I'm laying there. Oh, more pain pills. More of that opium or whatever they're pumping in me. The middle of the night. I didn't even know what that room next door for me was. God woke me up. I'm hard to wake up. He said, I want you to go next door and pray for the guy next door. God, you're not Stevie Wonder. Look. Get up. I got to have three nurses to help me onto a bedpan. Lord. So by this time, the nurses had figured out that I was crazy. So my daughter runs that whole floor, so whatever I wanted, I got. So the minute I called them, they come running. And God knew that, too. That wasn't a coincidence. That was all set up. They helped me into the room. I tell them, I want to go pray for the guy next door. And they're both looking at each other like they're taking my temperature, you know. I said, I understand it sounds a little silly, but I need to do it. I said, is there somebody in the next room? There was nobody there when they put me in. I said, yes. That's when he explained to me. I said, okay, that's God then. Let's go. I went and prayed for the guy. The usual thing, they said, well, you know, he can't hear you. He's comatose. He's dead. He's probably brain dead. He won't understand a thing you're saying. I started praying for him, and I explained a few things. And I said, do you want to receive God in your heart? He set up, spit blood. This guy was, blood is coming out of his eyes. No, he was, I thought he was dead. He set up. Like that far, like that, laid back down. Well, it's just like a reaction. Yes, I know what kind of reaction it was, ma'am. Thank you. I felt that at that time, that was a sign from God that he had heard me and he had accepted. I get up the next morning, they tell me he had died 2 hours after I prayed for him. Now, what works is God going to judge him on? What did he do? For 2 hours, he laid there and bled till he died. That's what gets you into heaven, is accepting God. But if you have more than 2 hours and able to get out of bed, he expects you to do something, right? In summary, both faith and works are important in salvation. However, believers are justified or declared righteous before God solely by faith. Jesus Christ is the one and only way, and the one and only who deserves credit for doing the work of salvation. Christians are saved by God's grace through faith alone. Works, on the other hand, are evidence of genuine salvation. They are the proof in the pudding, so to speak. God's works demonstrates the truth of one's faith. In other words, works are obvious, visible results of being justified by faith. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Just as I'd said earlier, just as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. It's your faith that opens the door to heaven, but it's your works that will judge you when you stand in front of the Lord. Faith and work travel side by side. Have you ever seen? We said faith starts out first. Faith, work. Faith, work. When you're starting out, it's easy. Faith, work. You ever seen on TV the wide world of sports? The racers that do the 1 mile. When they get about three quarters of the way, their legs look like a whirligig. You can't even see which is in front of which, right? That's how we should be. After a while, we're not sure if we're stepping out in faith or works. Works or faith. They one and the same once we get kicking and running, right? But it does start with faith, and it ends with works. But they work together. There's not too many one-legged runners. There's some that use the prosthetics, but a one-legged runner, no. You can't run just on faith. You can't run just on work. They go together. But after a while, they're blurred. Which is which? It doesn't make any difference after a while because they're working in conjunction with each other. Amen? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Amen? So let's get out there and let's do some good works, right? They've been prepared for you. All you got to have is your eyes and ears open and watch for those opportunities. They are all over the place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Who would like to close us in prayer? Alma would. Okay. See, you wanted to. I knew, Alma. I had faith.
Well, I was going to say something first. I was thinking about Joseph and the story you said and how he used, what was the maidservant's name?
Rahab? No, that's true.
No, yeah.
I talked about Abraham.
Abraham, not Joseph.
Okay.
And how he used the maidservant to get his first child.
You're right.
And, like, because he had seen that. Like, he didn't have faith, but he had seen others do that, I'm sure. And that's what we do. Like, instead of going by our faith, we go by what Kim did or what so-and-so of people in the world do instead of seeking God and what God wants us to do. And sometimes it takes courage to do that, but we should look to him and not look to what others are doing, and it's so easy to do that.
What she said is perfect. I go along 100% with that, and we're going to close on that thought. Amen? Amen. All right.
Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for Bob for studying your word, Lord, and sharing it with us, Lord, and we just thank you for everyone that's here, Lord, and prepare our hearts to worship you today, Lord, and we thank you for all things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.